Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
In a little bit, we'll go through 16 baseball games that qualified as the worst Yankee losses of the last 25 years. But before we do that, we figured we'd honor and talk to a guy who was a part of a couple of games that were in our field of greatest Yankee victories over the last 25 years. And that is the guy who you could say won it, basically, because the winner was that incredible comeback in Game 4 against the Braves in 1996, down 6-0. And really, it was because of a three-run home run that tied the game against Mark Wohlers. And that guy is Jim Leritz, who's kind enough to give us a few minutes. Jim, Evan Roberts, how are you?
Hey, Evan, how are you doing today?
Excellent. Well. Thank you very much for coming out. First of all, tell us about what you're doing with the first responders. Obviously, it's been a tough time the last few months, but tell us about what you've been doing.
Yeah, a friend of mine in New York, his name's Mike Walsh, he teamed up with a restaurant called Luke's Restaurant in New York City to feed the first responders through meals, and he originally called me just to donate some money to it to get it started so they could put it on a donate page. And then about 3 days later, I came up with this idea with a friend of mine named Jay Kobach, who's a fantasy camp, one of our fantasy campers. And I said, hey, listen, you know what? We've been talking about doing like a little podcast type of thing. Why don't we, we don't have any sponsors. We don't have any money. But why don't we do a free podcast? We'll put it on Facebook Live. We'll put it out to all of the campers, to all of the New York fans and all the, our Facebook and our Twitters. And let's see if we can raise maybe $5,000 for these first responders. We'll donate the money to Mike's and Luke's restaurant, and we can feed as many people as we can. And you know what? We decided we would start doing it. We did a Zoom cast, and then we took our phones and we put the phones on Facebook Live, and it was really high tech. And we put it on Facebook Live and we sent it out to everybody. And the first night we raised over $7,500.
Wow.
So Jay Kobach, Jay was nice enough because he's done fantasy camp for like 11 years. He was nice enough to donate a lot of the memorabilia and a lot of things that he had signed over the years that he had triples and doubles and everything of. So we were selling that as an auction item. And then I would pick up some things from my collection and sell them, just like kind of like David Wells, who was also doing the same thing, right, to help out Mike Walsh too. He was doing the same type of thing.
Well, that's awesome, man. That's great to hear.
So yeah, we raised really over $50,000. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. Oh, tremendous. Tremendous. We're talking to Jim Leritz, of course, the former Yankee. So if you close your eyes right now and I said the best victory you were ever a part of, and look, you can include the Padres if you want. I mean, you're certainly allowed to, but what's your answer? Which game would jump out to you as kind of that greatest victory you ever experienced as a baseball player?
Well, I mean, the walk-off home run in 95 against Seattle Mariners after the crazy fights that we had that year and the tension that was between those two teams, catching all 15 innings of that game, and then Buck Showalter saying to me, Jimmy, this is your last at bat, make it count. And I hit the walk-off home run in Yankee Stadium. You know, there was no better moment than that for me. But you look back now in the history of everything that's happened since that 96 home run, to turn around that series, to be able, that 96 team, to win that series like we did, it basically saved Joe Torre's job, Mariano Rivera not getting traded when they fell apart in 97 in the first round of the playoffs. because George went to Gene Michael, and Gene Michael used to tell me the story all the time that George came into his office saying, "That's it, we're done. Get rid of Rivera. We're getting rid of Torrey. This is crazy." And Gene Michael said, "George, hold on. Remember, they won the World Series last year. Look at Mariano." You know, and convinced George not to pull the trigger. And he said, "Okay, I'll give him 98 then." And sure enough, the 98 season turns out to be one of the greatest. And, of course, I was on the losing end with the Padres. But the Padres, like you mentioned before, I take a lot of pride in those home runs because that helped build the momentum to get us to the World Series and get the approval for Petco Park during that run that we were on, because the fans got behind us and they voted yes for the new stadium. To be part of that also, dude, as an undrafted guy who never was played every day, to have those two kind of moments that changed the history of two different organizations, I am very, very blessed to be a part of both of those.
It's amazing that it seemed like any home run you ever hit in the postseason had to be like classic. It had to be legendary. You don't hit forgettable postseason home runs, because even in that run against with the Padres against the Astros, you hit one off Randy Johnson. And you mentioned the one against the Mariners in Game 2 in 95. All of them seem to be in like these incredibly big moments.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things that you look back on your career when you're done playing, especially as long as I've been retired, and you go, you know what? You know, there's a reason God didn't have me play every day so I could have these type of moments, so I could be in position that my team could help me put me in that position to be able to hit those home runs late in the game. I remember I used to fight with Buck Showalter every single day about playing time. And one time Buck said to me, "Jimmy, I know you don't understand it. You're a young kid, but you are more important to me on my bench with a bat in your hands than Mariano Rivera is in my bullpen." Mm. He said, "Because I know that you can go up in those situations. I've seen it all through the minor leagues with you. I know you can go up and you can do this." And I never understood it. And then, you know, everything I look back now and I go, wow, you know, I was made for those moments, and just very blessed to be in those situations.
What's so interesting when you look at the home run against Seattle in 95 versus the one that tied the game against the Braves in 96 is that in 95, like you talked about, you're catching all of those innings. You had 6 at-bats at this point. You've caught for 5 hours, and then it's like the complete opposite in the game against Atlanta, where that was your first at-bat of the game, if I'm not mistaken. You had just come into the game. So how about the differences between the two? Being worn down, I would assume, of 5 hours of baseball against the Mariners in 95 to, you know, being what you just described, that guy off the bench, essentially, to try to get a big hit.
Yeah, I mean, I still to this day say if Joe Torre would have had a third catcher on the roster, he would have pinch hit Wade Boggs for me. Mm. You know, that would have been, you know, maybe an unfortunate situation there. But no, I mean, again, like you said, catching those 15 innings, it was that's why that meant so much to me, because, you know, we would put in all the effort. The good thing about the one thing about the 96 home run, and I tell people all the time, it was hard to really, really enjoy it till I knew we won the game, because it would have been like the 95 when we went and lost 3 straight to Seattle. I never really got to enjoy that home run as far as what it should have been. And by the team winning in 96, I take honestly more pride in catching game 5 and Andy Pettit than I take in the home run, because the home run was, like you said, a pinch hit, or coming in the game and won at bat. Catching Andy Pettit in that game 5, you know, after being his catcher all year, and then, of course, we had such a bad first game in game 1 of that World Series. For Andy to be able to come back, and he said it to me after I hit the home run in game 4, he said, "Thank you. I'll sleep much better tonight because I know it's not an elimination game."
There you go. That, I got to tell you, that game, and you did catch that entire game, and the last few innings are incredible. You know, between the decision to keep Andy Pettit in the game, have him start the ninth inning, because remember, he was up. He had an at-bat with guys on base. I think it was in the previous inning, and Torrey says, "All right, I'll let him hit," and he, you know, ends up, of course, not coming through. He's a pitcher hitting, and then he starts the ninth inning, and right out of the gate puts the leadoff man on, and Wetland has to fight his way out of it, the Polonia at-bat. But what did you think? Because I'm sure as a catcher, you're almost managing along. So what did you think about the decision, as good as Andy was, to leave him in the game, let him hit for himself, and then start the ninth inning?
Well, you know what it was? It was because Chipper Jones was a weaker hitter from the right side. He didn't have the power that he did from the left side, and that was more of the strategic, you know, positioning of doing that. And again, it didn't work out. Chipper still got the hit, but you know, it was a situation that you know, Joe was looking. It's kind of like when people used to face Bernie Williams. You know, they would always bring in the left-hander, I mean the right-hander, because Bernie didn't hit the ball as far from the right or with much power from the left side as he did from the right. So very similar situation.
Even with Pettitte with a chance to break the game open, because that's the one thing. I get the matchup that you have of Andy against Chipper Jones and then Fred McGriff. So you got two matchups that you really like. But in the half inning before, there's two guys on with two out. It almost seems like, oh my God, you got to go for it. You got to go for a chance to break it open with it only being a 1-0 game.
Well, that's true too, and I can't imagine. I can't imagine, you know, the people that were watching that game, what was being said about Joe Torre. You know,
right.
The beginning of the season before he even started, it was clueless Joe. So, yeah. You know, but I honestly think, in all honesty, I think, you know, the combination of Joe Torre and Don Zimmer together, I have never seen a better combination of a coach or manager and a bench coach, and just trusting each other in decisions. I mean, Don Zimmer would throw 10 ideas at Joe Torre, and Joe would pick from them and say, okay, I'll do that one, and that one. And they just worked so well together. And it was no coincidence that after Zim left in 2003, things didn't go quite as well.
Sure. We're talking to Jim Leritz. What are you thinking about during that Apollonia at bat? Because part of why I think that game is just one of the great games to ever watch is, number one, I'm biased. I love a 1-0 game. It's tremendous. But that ending, you know, Wetland having Polonia foul the ball off, it felt like 80 times in a row, and then he
drives nine pitches.
And then he drives one up the alley, and off the bat, you're thinking, wow, the Braves are going to win this thing. Polonia's getting the big hit, and O'Neill makes that catch. Give me your thought during that 9-pitch at-bat, catching it.
Well, it was funny because I could tell Wetland, you know, we had Chippers on third, and, you know, I did not want to take a chance of throwing a breaking ball where John would bounce it and the tying run would come in. And, but it was really funny because after, I think it was the fourth pitch, I remember, you know, John looking at me when I put down fastball again, and I put it down like really hard, like, yes, throw it. And I kept putting it down. As soon as Polonia hit the ball, as soon as O'Neill made the catch, I ran out there and I said, John, I know you want a curveball, dude, but I had to go with your best pitch. Don't get beat. I'm your second best. And, you know, we didn't talk much on the field, but when we got in the locker room, he came up to me and he goes, I never thought about that. And I said, yeah. I said, I just did it to Mark Walters the night before. That's why you weren't going to do it.
It makes a lot of sense. Do you think if you guys win that 95 series and that home run puts you guys up 2-0, we all know what happened in Seattle, Edgar Martinez and all that, and it's kind of similar to what you were saying about what you experienced in San Diego, that victory for the Mariners helped them get a new stadium too. I mean, that momentum helped them. But do you think about how different it would have been if you guys advanced, that Buck probably stays, or maybe he stays, who knows? Maybe the offseason is different, that maybe we don't see the dynasty formed in the same way if you guys win that series?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, everything kind of fell into place after, Buck left for Joe Torre. I mean, Buck and Stick created the 96 team. But there were certain pieces that Bob Watson went out and got. And, you know, I don't think Bob Watson gets enough credit, God rest his soul.
Totally agree.
You know, because he put those extra pieces together. He was the one that wanted to go get Cecil Fielder. Those are some big moves that weren't really – he was never really given the credit for as much as he should have been.
No, 100%.
You know, and we talk about that all the time, is all these things that happened. And I always tell people, besides the home runs that I hit for the Yankees, you know, I did a really, really big favor to create the dynasty even after I left, because in 1997, I was playing with the Angels, and I was being traded to the Texas Rangers on July 30th. And they were trading me to Texas from Anaheim. And Kenny Hill went to Anaheim. And then there was a second part of the deal that Pudge Rodriguez was being traded to the New York Yankees for Jorge Posada.
Wow.
And when Pudge found out on July 30th that I was coming and that he was on his way out, because he didn't want to leave Texas, but he wouldn't sign the free agent contract they were offering him, he went in the next day and said, okay, I'll sign. And he signed. And I showed up in Texas, and I was like, wait a minute. I thought I was going to be the starting catcher here in Texas. And that changed everything. But I always tell people, think about Posada never being a Yankee after 97.
Well, but wait a second. Wait a second. And I have great respect for Posada. I do. But the alternate to that is freaking Pudge Rodriguez is on the Yankees in the prime of his career, not you know, when he's 36 years old. So, I don't know. I mean, that...
Yeah. You could debate that. Yeah, you could debate that. Yeah, but that's funny because I remember Pudge telling the story when he got traded to the Yankees and he was there and the press was talking to him. He said, yeah, I could have been here 10 years earlier.
Yeah, that is funny, man. Well, Jim, I appreciate you coming on. Keep up the good work that you're doing to help out, and thank you very much. Good chatting.
All right, guys. Stay safe up there, and hopefully we'll have some baseball this year. I'll be able to get up there and see you guys.
That's the hope. Thank you, Jim. Jim Leritz, thank you, man. The former New York Yankee and was a part of the moment that was picked yesterday as the greatest Yankee win over the last 25 years, and that was the win against Atlanta. That really turned that 96 World Series around. We'll come back. John Jastrzemski will join me along with Ernie, and we'll go through the worst Yankee losses of the last 25 years.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.